Those of you, oh yeah, oh no, here he goes again. Those of you who were here last week, remember what these were about, right? That in the Gospel of Matthew, we're encountering a new king who is ushering a new kingdom into the world. And as we read through and consider chapter 13, which is full of parables, five of them, if I remember correctly, we understood that Jesus was trying to help his disciples, and Jesus is trying to help us gain a new experience with which we could understand the reality of this new kingdom. And we said it was important to understand that as human beings, it's just the way that we were made, that our experience trumps our acquisition of facts each and every time as we try to understand what is the truth and what's reality. Right? You remember that? It's a lot of big words. You all laughed at me when I confessed about my fear of roller coasters. Even though I knew factually that roller coasters are safe, my experience says don't go anywhere near them. Right? That's where we've come from. And it is in much the same vein that we approach the text this morning. Chapter 14 is another experience, not a parable this time, but an actual miraculous account that Jesus introduces to us in order to help bring us not into the reality of the kingdom so much this time, but into understanding the values of this kingdom. He wants us to experience his heart, his desire, his will. And so it's a great privilege this morning that in much the same way, we'll not only be talking about the text, but Rick will bring the experience of the values of the kingdom before us and invite us to participate in those values of the kingdom in much the same way that we see in chapter 14 here. Everyone got the point, right? I'm going to take that off now. But before we do that, let's spend a little bit of time in God's Word understanding the values of the kingdom of God. If you've brought your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 14. If you haven't, the passage is up here on the screen. Beginning at chapter 13, we're reading an account that is familiar to many of you. It's the account of the feeding of the 5,000. Okay, listen to God's Word this morning. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. And when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. And then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Let's pause to pray. Lord, we understand that your word is true, but written 2,000 years ago, sometimes the truth of your word needs to be enlivened for our heart. And so would you, Holy Spirit, enliven this word, that we would not only understand its truth 2,000 years ago, but today as well. And that we would hear your voice, your call, to take another step in faithfulness and to engage your heart and to live into the values of your kingdom. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Well, I was excited as you all know, we're just going along in the Gospel of Matthew, and I don't believe it's by accident that Compassion International is coming on the same day that we read in verse 14, Jesus had compassion on them and healed the sick. I wish I could tell you that I was such a good administrator that I planned 6 months ago that everything would line up this way, but I don't. I can't. In the providence of God, that happened. And I want to spend some time really thinking about that word compassion from this text and trying to understand Jesus' heart as our king, because if we understand what Jesus' heart is, well, then certainly as his followers, our desire should be that our heart would mirror or image his heart, and that we would desire the same things in the same way. So I want to spend some time just considering this text briefly before I invite Rick up here. Now, for those of you who have a Bible in front of you, you will be able to look back a little bit, because we need to look back if we're going to understand Jesus' heart. Verse 13 says, when Jesus heard what had happened. If you're studying the Bible, what should that cue us to do? Let's go figure out what happened, right? So if you've got a Bible in front of you, just back up a little bit and tell us, what does the subheading, the beginning of verse 14, tell us? What happened? What's that? John's death, right. John the Baptist has just been beheaded. He died. He's been executed. Now, John the Baptist, just to remind you, is Jesus' cousin. And I think it's fair to assume that Jesus and John were very close, as I am with my cousins. It would grieve him deeply to hear not only did his cousin die, but he died a very, very gruesome death. And so we see in chapter 13 that Jesus, after having heard what happened, withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. And can we get into Jesus' emotions here? Here is Jesus, yes, God, but fully human, having experienced the news about the gruesome death of his cousin, saying, all right, just wait a minute. In the midst of all the activity and the hubbub of ministry, taking a few steps back and saying, I just need a moment. I need some time to grieve. I need some time to mourn. I need some time to collect myself. I need some private moments. Who here thinks that's fair? That's a reasonable request of Jesus? Man, you guys are not a very compassionate person. Really, put your hands up if you think that's... I think that's fair, right? Not only fair, I would insist on that as a right. I mean, all the amount of time and effort and energy that Jesus gives to all of these people, and then he gets this news, does he not have the right for a few moments just to retreat and go, God? But what happens? The crowd follows. They don't give him a moment's breathing room. They follow right on him. They're on his heels. They're begging for help. They're pleading for his intervention. And Jesus' response is, well, it's not my response, right? My response, or my attempted response, would be, would you people lay off for just a moment? Just come on. Back off. Take care of yourself. That would be, I'll not ask you for a raise of hands on that one, but that would be my response. But no, Jesus had, the text tells us, compassion on them, and he healed them. You know, I looked up in the Greek dictionary what this word compassion means. Of course, there's a Greek word beneath it, and it means this. It means to internalize the struggle of another person and bear their burden. Not just to intellectually acknowledge it, but to allow our heart to be invested in the struggle and the burden of another. Going, yeah, I'm tired. The sun's going down. I'm wiped. Jesus, for the sake of these people, would you send them away? I've borne their burden enough. I've stressed myself out enough. Would you send them away? And Jesus' response is matter of fact. He says, no. You feed them. You bear their burdens. How are we supposed to do that? With everything we've got going on in our lives, with everything that's burning up, how are we supposed to do this? Jesus, we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. How are we supposed to do it? He says, bring it to me. And in so doing, providing a metaphor that is taught all through the rest of Scripture. In 1 Peter chapter 5, we're told as believers, cast your anxieties, cast your burdens on him, because he cares for you. In chapter 11 of this gospel we just read, Jesus himself says, take my yoke upon you. Take my burden. Give my yoke's light and easy. The only way that we can be expected to carry the burdens of the world is if we understand that our burdens are rightfully supposed to be taken off and placed on Jesus. the concerns of our family, that the concerns of our nation, that the concerns of our heart, that the concerns of our budget. Not saying that we're not responsible, don't read into that there, but that we can take our anxieties and place them on the one who is ultimately in control of our lives and cares for us, so that we are then set free to bear the burdens of others in the world. That's what Compassion International helps the church to do. It's an organization that partners with local churches to help churches bear the burdens of the poor, of the needy, particularly children throughout the world. And so I'm super glad that Rick is here. Before Rick comes up, we have a video that will introduce you to this ministry. Rick will share. I'll close up our time, and we'll send you on from there. So let's watch this video.
Our story begins with actually my dad. He came to us three kids, me and my older sister and my younger brother, and he said, we're going to start sponsoring a child through Compassion. We all decided to choose a kid, and I chose Elizabeth because she has the same exact name as me, and that's where our story began.
My name is Elizabeth. I am 10 years old, and this is my story. I live here in São Paulo, Guatemala, with my father and younger brother and two sisters. 6 years ago, I was sponsored by a girl in America through Compassion, and she and I have the same name, Elizabeth. 2 years ago, my father had a bad fall while working and hurt his back very badly. He couldn't move or walk, and still can hardly work to earn money for us. Just 2 months later, my mother then became really sick with a fever. She was in a lot of pain, and she told my father to look after us and that he should always speak to us about God. The next day, my mother died. I miss her very much. Now I have to take care of my family.
I remember sophomore year, I had received a letter that the mother had died, and we don't know why. And now Elizabeth is the caretaker of her family. And I just kind of wanted to just cry. This family didn't need this right now. The dad's already sick and in bed. I just remember feeling devastated. This is kind of what poverty is like. It's not like you choose to live like this.
My life changed. I didn't have to do all the housework before. Now I have to do all of it. I have to look after my younger brother and sisters. I sweep the floor. I make the beds. I do the dishes and the laundry. And I cook. Most times we have barely enough food for all of us. It's very difficult for me.
This is a real story, and this is a real journey. I get to take part in her life and helping her get back on her feet. And I was just so grateful at that time for Compassion. You know, if Compassion wasn't there, I don't even know what would happen to her or her family.
I love going to the Compassion Project at the church nearby. They help me in lots of ways. The first thing we do is we pray, and we sing, and we learn a lot about Jesus. And they help me with my school and take care of me when I am sick or injured. And they give us food, which is delicious. My life has also changed a lot because nobody wrote to me before, and now I get letters from my sponsor, Elizabeth. And I send her letters also. I ask her to pray for me a lot. I also want to tell her that I want to be just like her because she has helped me so much through the Compassion Project.
For Elizabeth, it's the difference between health care and no health care, or school or tutoring, or somebody just to listen to her and know her story and talk to her about it, helping her kind of climb out of her situation that she's been born in. And breaking that cycle of poverty. For her, it can change the story.
My favorite Bible verse is, "Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers live in unity." Psalm 133.
What I've learned through my relationship with Elizabeth is how big my influence could really be. I can change the story for Elizabeth through Compassion. If everybody could just do that, it could change the whole world. If you want to be that person in a child's life, sponsor child today.
Mi nombre es Elizabeth.
My name is Elizabeth, and we are changing the story together.
My name is Elizabeth, and we're changing the story together.
And every Compassion Child is known, loved, and protected. And compassion is Christ-centered, number one. We are about releasing children from poverty in Jesus' name. And we do that unashamedly. And we do it through the local church. And I, with our short time we have right now, and I'm going to unpack it a lot more in the discipleship hour coming up. But compassion only works with and through the local church. And what that means is Elizabeth's Compassion Project is housed at a church. I want to share about a Compassion Project that is in a church in El Salvador that is actually probably pretty close to starting their worship right now. And that worship there will probably go on for 3 hours, 4 hours. And in that Compassion Project, it's actually in a pretty dangerous area. There are rival gangs all around that project. And at one point, the pastor there was held at knife point by one of the gang members. And he just was either going to try to rob him or kill him or both. And the pastor turned to the man holding the knife on him and said, "Why are you doing this?" And about this time, the other gang members start coming up and were around this pastor, and they turned to the gang member and said, "Yeah, why are you doing this? He takes care of our children." You won't see flashing neon compassion signs. It's not about compassion. It's about the church. Christ established the church to carry out his mission on earth. Compassion comes alongside the church, resources the church, supports the church, empowers the church. There are so many other high standards that are in place that the church has to go toward, move toward, be about as they work with the children. In that particular Compassion Project, I was there a couple years ago, and they did a style show in front of us. The kids were learning how to sew. And I remember these two boys came up, and if they could look embarrassed, they were really, really embarrassed, you know, coming up, but they were wearing these button shirts, collared shirts that they had made themselves. And I bought them. I was able to buy them, and they fit my sons perfectly, and they had their school pictures taken in them. But the kids were learning skills like that. They were learning computer skills. They were learning carpentry. Jonathan's a boy we sponsor there, and he learned carpentry skills in that project. These kids come to this project, and there's probably 350 to 400 compassion kids alone that are a part of that church project. Imagine this church if all of a sudden you had 400 kids from all over the community come here on multiple days during the week to learn about Jesus, to be fed, to have their medical needs taken care of, to have any other physical need that's there, to learn how to socially interact with each other, and also to be taken care of economically, maybe learning a skill. We are not, and I want to be clear about this, we are not a relief organization. Do we provide relief when it's needed? Absolutely. The earthquake hit Haiti in 2010. We've been in Haiti since 1968. Our first work was to get the churches up and running that were compassion churches, because they were going to minister to the people. But in that situation, we had to provide water and food. We became a relief organization, but we were already on the ground. But we are a holistic child development ministry, much more long-term. In closing, a key part of that is the relationship between sponsor and child. And a child we sponsor in India, Prasant, this is his final letter to me. He turned 19, and he was leaving the program. It varies by country with the age. But I just want to read one paragraph that gives you a glimpse into what compassion meant to him and what it looked like for him. And he says in his little bit broken English, but he does quite well, "I certainly say that after joining in Compassion Only, I saw many developments in me and in my family too. I still remember the days when I was told by many people that I am good for nothing, and I faced many discouragements. But after I enrolled in Compassion Project, I saw things changing in me and my family. I came to know who is my Savior. I was filled with the Spirit of God, started reading the Bible, and learnt many more in retreats, camps, Sunday class, and vacation Bible school. When I am a diploma in theology," he wants to be a pastor, "and hardware networking," he's a computer guy too, "I owe it all to you. I am really grateful to God on my bent knees for blessing me with an uncle like you. And I would say it's all God, and it's him, and it's those heroes in the Compassion Project who've come alongside him. Like you, with your help, has brought me to a level where, due to certain problems, my own parents could not have been able to do today. I am the first person in my family to graduate, and I completely owe it to your efforts always." This is what it's about. And it's changed my life beyond what I could even imagine as the sponsor. It's not about what we're doing for someone else, but it's what God does inside us. So thanks for having me today. Thank you.
Let's return to Matthew 14 for just a second. Can you imagine what the disciples and the little boy who provided the 5 loaves and 2 fish must have experienced as they saw Jesus take not only their burdens but their meager provision and just do a dynamic miracle? As the pastor here, my heart is not only to see us care for children and change their lives, my heart is to see our lives further transformed by the gospel because of our involvement in a ministry like this. Our family's been sponsoring a young boy in Burkina Faso for about 5 years, and it has provided such an opportunity for us as a family to engage in conversation about what does it mean to serve the poor. What do you think Ollie's experiencing? Ollie's the same age as Isaac, just a month difference. Writing back and forth to Ollie, it's been an opportunity for God to work in our lives in transformative ways. And so that's my prayer, that our church would be further brought to the heart of the gospel through a ministry like that. So here's some very practical things. And then again, I invite you to come up to the chapel at 10 o'clock. Rick will be our presenter up there. In addition to that, his wife and 2 boys will be at the compassion table just outside this door. There will be child packets there. You can see pictures and names and locations and all of those types of things. But just a few practical things. As you heard, it's $38 a month to sponsor a child, which my first reaction is, whoop, that's a lot for our budget. And then I go, wait a minute, that's like half a tank of gas, you know, if I'm going to put things in perspective. Here in the church, our desire with the mission committee is to build a compassion wall somewhere in the church where these children are placed on the wall and we're able to pray for them and remember them and remind ourselves and anyone who comes into this place where our heart is. And then lastly, in a few years, develop short-term mission trips to the Dominican Republic to visit our children. Now again, there's children all over the world that we can sponsor. On the table, you'll only see children from the Dominican Republic because our hope is that you will consider sponsoring a child from there, especially if you have any thought that you might want to go on a trip in 2 or 3 years to not only visit the children, but then engage in some building project or something that might help their community. If, on the other hand, you have a desire to sponsor a child in Africa or India, there are other packets as well. All you need to do is ask for them. But I think that's all. I hope that you'll ask the Lord what God's will is for you. And to do that, let's pray right now before we sing some more. Lord, thank you that you have borne our burdens and invite us to share in your heart of compassion. We don't claim that this is for everybody this morning, but we do believe it's for some. And so, Lord, I pray that you would lay on our hearts how you would have us move and be obedient and faithful. Help us, Lord, to not be distracted by our own burdens, but to enter into your love and your care and your desire to serve the world, and especially the least of these. Thank you for the Schlups being willing to be with us. Bless their continued time and their ministry as you continue to minister to us as well. It's in Christ's name we pray.